Welcome to I Am Living Beyond Abuse podcast episode 1. I'm so excited. This is the very first podcast, and episode 1 is entitled My Story, My Life, My Journey. And the title speaks for itself in reference to I have a story to tell about abuse. I have had a life of abuse, but also a life of triumph and victory. But I have had a journey process that I've had to go through from the pit all the way to the palace and experiencing the promises of God in my life. And I really want to hone in on why living beyond abuse. What is so important and why should I live beyond abuse? There are so many people who have struggled with abuse. There's so many people who won't confront abuse, past abuse, current abuse, and maybe even have a premeditated perspective of abusing someone in the future. So what I do is so important because I know that God gave me this gift, and that leads me into this subject that I want to speak about today. But I have my husband here with me as well, and he's going to chime in on this conversation and many of the episodes because he can give a male perspective to abuse, the impact of abuse, how it's affected him, and what the walk has been like as a man who have been sexually abused, and maybe as a man who has sexually abused. And so I want to welcome my husband, Charles Everett Perry, to the show.
What's Say up, hello. Everyone? What's up, everyone? Hello, everyone. How you doing, everyone?
So that is my husband, Charles Everett. He's a little funny, so I'm not as comical or humorous as he is. I'm very straightforward. But I really want to get into the gist of this because a lot of people don't want to speak about abuse. And it could be a devastating and tragic thing, but it affects our lives long term. And I wanted to start this episode. It's going to be a part one and a part two. Part one is going to give the backdrop of this gift that we all have. And I want to be able to share that with you all. That sets the foundation for why I have this podcast. But also, part two is going to be about the actual story or just the introduction into the past life of my husband and I. We came from two different separate walks of life, and to give a backdrop on those abuse experiences, but not staying there, but what the process has been like to get out. But I want to start with this point that God gave me. Those who know me know I have written several books. I published 8. I'm working on number 9. But one of my biggest books that I have published, which sets the stage for my business and how I counsel and everything that I do, it's called Living Beyond Abuse, 20 Keys to Living Beyond the Hurts and the Pains of Your Past. I published this several years ago. All of my books are published on Amazon. And within this particular book, I also wrote a workbook that goes with it. For those who are very serious about getting out of abuse, or those who's very serious on helping someone else to get out of abuse and live this triumphant life in God. But in the midst of me starting to write this book, when God gave me the meat of this book, that only took me about 30 days to 60 days to write the book. It was very intense. But I got it done. God gave me first this point, and I want to give you the meat of this point, but this is going to be a springboard for the conversation that we're going to speak about today. So listen to this. God gave me a gift. God took me, molded me, and well created me to be. He took me from nothing and made me into something so I could believe. No matter what they said about me, he reassured me that he made me free. Free from a past of abuse, anger, addictions, and a life of abandonment, so I can walk in and pursue potential, purpose, and passion. Ultimately, what God revealed to me was my gift. Something so precious, so sweet, simple, yet powerful. A gift that heals brokenness, sets captives free, removes burdens, and destroys yokes. A gift that ventures deep down on the inside of abused men, women, and children, that paves a way for and directs them to complete and total restoration. My gift is unique, one of a kind, and designed just for me. Yes, it is my gift. I stake claim to it, lay hold of it, and take ownership of it. I thank God for my gift. Wow, God gave me a gift that I am now ready to present to the world. You too have a gift. Find your gift. Develop your gift. Use your gift. Inspire the lives of others with your gift. You are a gift. Signed, Dr. Destiny D. Perry. And God gave me that poem because I did not realize, with all of the things that I've gone through in my life, that in the midst of abuse, God was exposing and revealing the very gift that he put on the inside of me, which is ministry in the area of abuse. I have the authority to speak in that area and have become so skilled in that area. Why? In order to be used to instill purpose and passion and potential in the lives of those who have suffered any form of abuse, whether it's emotional, physical, sexual, whatever abuse that they've experienced, I have a response for that. And so I'm thankful for the gift that God has given me in that area of ministry. And I want others to know that they have a gift, that there's somewhere some gift. And just because you've experienced abuse and hardship, that there is still a way for you to be used in the kingdom of God and to advance the kingdom of God. And we all have to get to a point where we tap into that gift that God has given us. But if we are in so much bondage, we will never see that gift and we'll never manifest that gift or present that very gift that God wants to the world to bring glory to his kingdom. So that's the whole purpose of the gift, not to edify myself, not to say boastfully I made it out of abuse and whatnot, but the gift is evident that God is God and God is real and Jesus is on the throne, because I know without a shadow of a doubt that had I not had an encounter with the Lord, then I would be dead right now. So I know that it was Jesus and the blood of Jesus and receiving Jesus that I know that I have a way out, and I made it out, but not just for myself, but to advance the kingdom of God. And so I want my husband to speak on that. Or what did he think about that poem that God gave me concerning the gift? Or what do you have to say about that?
I really truly believe from the heart, spiritually, that because God has given us all, I, our children, and other individuals, a gift spiritually. It's a spiritual gift. It's not a natural gift, but it can be seen and expressed through, you know, the natural, through our spirit. That the enemy, Satan, who is the originator of abuse, the evil abuse, the wicked abuse, the dark abuse, that the abuse that we all encounter, rather, it's like you said previously, physical abuse, sexual abuse, mental abuse, emotional abuse, psychologically abuse, that abuse comes to try to crush the gift. That you just explained and talked about, that you feel God has enabled you with. But God himself allows us, because the scripture says, whatever we cannot handle, he does not allow into our lives. So God allows us to go through these shameful, painful, hurtful.
But he didn't cause it. No, he didn't that's cause why it. Most people get it. Right. You know, He did not cause it.
He's not an evil God. He did not cause it, but he allowed it to come because he know what's on the inside of us. We can withstand it. We can make it through it later on in our life. We may tell ourselves we cannot deal with it. We can't go on from it, push through whatever we need to push through to get over it and overcome it through his power and the power of Christ that dwells on the inside of us. But that gift, like you said, you have, that God gave you to now go out and help those who were abused in these areas in this capacity, you see now that you have that gift to help the abused. But if you did not go through, if I did not go through the abuse, whatever kind of abuse it was, again, mentally, emotionally, physically, sexually, psychologically, we wouldn't be able to help those women, men, and also children, because we started out our lives with abuse, being neglected, abused in these capacities when we were children. So a lot of times people wonder certain things, why this, why that, when it comes to my thinking, my mindset, or why my heart feels this way, or why I'm drowning spiritually. It's because of the abuse that was, you know, that happened or took place when we were children. But the gift was already on the inside of you when you were a child.
So the discovery, so the whole, my story, my life, my journey, along the story of your life that can seem so comical, because I know mine is like a real movie. I'm like, I want my life to be turned. My book, because I wrote a book, and in my book that I've written, it's called Divine Destiny, The Lived Experiences of a Woman's Testimony, that I published on Amazon last year in 2019. I wrote that book by the Spirit of God. I did not want to write that book. I've been wrote the book, but it took years to publish it because it wasn't the right season. And I had, even when God told me it was time to release the book, I didn't want to, because it's so personal. It's so much in there. A lot of shame, a lot of hurtful things, but knowing I had already been delivered from it, it didn't affect me. But I was like, God, you want me to tell that story that could seem humorous at times, but weird at other times, and you really want people to know about that darkness that you had went through? But I only believe that in transparency that we are able to really be effective in the lives of other people. And it took this woman of God to come in 2019 in the beginning to release a word to me. And she didn't, she heard by the Spirit of God that I had a story to tell. So it's in the story, it's in my life, and it's in and along the journey that the seed of the gift of God's word and his purpose that he has for your life is like Jeremiah 29 and 11. We know that scripture. It's been there the entire time, and it can take a story, what appears to be a lifetime, as we go through this journey of life in order for us to fully see our gift and maximize the gift that God wants us to. Because sometimes we can take that gift and distort it and call it a skill or a talent, or we can take it and use it out in the world just for worldly gain and money and influence and all of that. But what about ministry to the hearts of people? And allow God to be your recompense. Allow God to be a Jehovah Gomolah, the God who recompense us. So I like what you said concerning that.
And to go deep in the depth about what you just said about the gift, because I really feel that that's what we need to, you know, piggyback on and stay right there as a focal point, the gift, because the gift ultimately, all of our gifts ultimately, are going to be spiritual. It's not necessary, like you said, it's a great point what you just said, because I was just thinking that a lot of people feel that they come into the earth and they think what they can do as a potential naturally, and certain talents that they have naturally, they feel that those are their God-given gifts. And it has nothing to do with anything spiritual, because everything spiritual, when it comes to gift, is going to involve other people. It's not going to involve just you yourself by yourself. You know what I'm saying? Because God is not a selfish God. He's into the salvation of souls and saving lost people. So ultimately, our gift ultimately, our gifts are spiritual because it's going to involve connecting, unifying, and plugging in with other people to help them better themselves spiritually. Mm-hmm. So the gift itself will never be natural. Mm-hmm. But we live in a society in the world today that my gift is sports. You know,
which is not really a gift.
No. My gift is...
That's a talent.
You know,
that requires a certain skill set. And it doesn't really bring glory to God moment. You're exercising a talent.
Yeah, because at the end of the day...
Which is all fine.
At the end of the day, if your gift was only to play sports, when you get hurt and you retire, mm-hmm. so that means you... Are you of no more use to God or anybody else? Because God gave me this gift to play football, basketball, baseball, hockey, golf, mm-hmm. you understand, tennis, mm-hmm. you know, bowling, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, any other, you know, sports, etc. You mm-hmm. know, if something happens to your physical body, then what? Mm-hmm. Are you done?
That brings me to think about then, as you were speaking, I heard the Lord talk about disqualification, disqualifying yourself. Mm-hmm. And because of, our context here is abuse, and I'm staying in my lane. Mm-hmm. So what I heard was not allowing discouragement, dissatisfaction, discontentment, and disadvantages that you may have faced mm-hmm. over a period of life that could have been attributed by the abuse of someone else towards you, or mm-hmm. you could abuse someone else, but mm-hmm. not even allowing that to discourage you from exercising the gift of God mm-hmm. that's operating on the inside of you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes because we've experienced something or we've been a perpetrator of something, victim mm-hmm. or perpetrator, mm-hmm. I want to design to get people out of the victim perpetrator mindset. Mm-hmm. God is saying, regardless of what has happened, you're not disqualified because I planted that seed in you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to fulfill it and make good on that. Mm-hmm. You just surrender to that. So that's what I heard when you said, well, it's not just if it's just for me, you know, our gift encompasses so many, just like mm-hmm. I'm sitting here with you, never mm-hmm. knowing that when we got married, that that we have this thing in common with abuse, but mm-hmm. that's really going to be our strong suit where we are united to evangelize the lost. Those mm-hmm. are abused. Those been hurt. And those who didn't want to confront certain things. So that's one thing. I want people to know that even in they mess and whatever they've experienced, it can be the worst of the worst, that don't neglect the gift of God on the inside of you mm-hmm. and don't become discouraged by that. Why do you think that, or we can talk about this discouragement, why do people feel as if, you know, they are discouraged in their walk of exercising their gift? Or some people feel that I can't speak up because I've experienced this or that. Now, I'm for the victim mm-hmm. and I'm for those who've been a perpetrator. Mm-hmm. My goal is to teach you how to become the victor. Mm-hmm. And I don't counsel those who are just considered victims who've been sexually assaulted or molested and things like that. I also seek refuge in strengthening those who have been perpetrators of abuse, mm-hmm. who sexually abused someone, who may have molested a child. Mm-hmm. I show compassion and love to all because I feel that that's what God's called me to do. And that's part of my gift. Mm-hmm. I don't get to determine who I want to counsel and who I don't want to counsel.
That's right.
That man abused that child, or that man sexually assaulted that person, or you know what he did, or do you know what she did?
Yeah.
And some people only want to hone in on, I was a victim.
Mm-hmm.
So they only want to hone in on those who have actually experienced the molestation mm-hmm. or gone through the sexual assault mm-hmm. or the physical domestic violence. They only want to protect them.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't have
not realizing
we can't have victory
yeah.
in all areas if we're not helping everyone involved.
Well, that's because a lot of people don't realize that the perpetrator is operating in a spirit that's getting that perpetrator, whether man or woman, because a lot of times in the
meaning we focus too much on the flesh people,
the human body.
Yeah,
you know, not realizing that whether man or woman, because women do the same thing as a man would do, whether it's molestation, sexually abusing a child. You know, we'll cut the head off on a man when if he get caught up in something with a child or a young girl, but what about the woman when she sexually abuse a young boy? Right. You know, what do we do with her? Mm-hmm. You know, but they're both operating in a spirit that's getting them to become a perpetrator of abuse on all levels. But a lot of people don't see it like that. They see it as, man, they need to be put under the jail. Or
now, we're not condoning their behavior.
Right, we're not condoning
their behavior. We are offering the compassion. But what about
God? But what about in God's eyes? In Christ's eyes? Would Christ walk through the valley and see this man or woman and pass them by because what they done as a perpetrator? Or would he sit with them? Would he talk with them about them being a perpetrator of abuse and help them and heal them, teach them? No, you know, a lot of people don't see it like that, but we know, yes, Jesus would do that. You know, God is not casting these individuals away. So today, the society we live in today, we have to really understand, especially as believers, because the scripture says that the world is going to be the world. Us as believers in the body of Christ have to have that love and compassion. I say it like this: without love and compassion, you're just walking around as the walking dead, like a zombie, as a believer. Because Jesus had love and compassion. The Bible talks about Jesus having love and compassion. So when it comes to abuse on all levels, we as believers have to have that love and compassion just as Jesus did and not look down upon. Because if you don't have love and compassion, you're not going to be able to help anybody spiritually. And you could be, you know, walking with God X amount of years, you know, 20 years, 30 years.
And that brings me to the question I had said, why do some people feel as if they haven't found their gift, or they know they have a gift of God that's in operation, but they're not utilizing it, they're not walking in it, because of some things that you just said a few minutes ago, where they can feel, I don't know how to fully walk this out because I've gone through this, or I've done this in my past, and people keep criticizing me about it or bringing it up.
I truly believe that when it comes to the discouragement, when it comes to the discouragement of an individual finding out about their gift, exercising their gift, that's longer, because when you have been a victim of abuse or a perpetrator of abuse, you feel you are not worthy of anything good. You feel that you are not qualified for anything good, especially in God's eyes. God gonna use me? No. You have totally disqualified yourself. You have totally erased yourself. That's right. You have totally X'd out yourself from being in any kind of capacity to be used for something good or something great. Because when you look at yourself in the mirror, you don't see anything good or anything great. You see bad.
And the way you're passionately speaking about it is because you would know, because you've been on the end of
both.
Victim and perpetrator.
That's right. That's right. And so, because of this, when you look in the mirror, you see yourself as a waste. You see yourself as somebody who's toxic. You see yourself as somebody who's been talking with the devil. You know, God can't forgive me. You know, God is not going to use me. I'm God mad at me. So these are all things that discourage you. So when you're in a place of discouragement, you don't even, a gift, you don't even know. You think the moment that you are a victim or a perpetrator of abuse on all levels, you do not even consider yourself a gift. Is nowhere in your mind. If a gift, matter of fact, when Satan, if you ever try to even think for a moment that you can do something good, Satan is going to hurry up and crush that expectation or crush that thought and bring you right back to what happened, what you done. So you don't even have a long period of dwelling and meditation or studying to try to get yourself right to exercise a gift. The gift was already erased and diminished when you became a victim or a perpetrator of the very thing we're talking about, abuse. So that's why we say discouragement. People have many reasons on why they don't want anything to happen. Say, that's why a lot of people, when you get to telling them, okay, think about this. You get to talking to somebody who have not yet expressed deep-hearted issues with anybody. They've been holding it in for 20 years, 25 years, 30 years. You know, you got people today walking around in their 50s and 60s.
Who suppress, who won't reveal, who won't communicate.
And watch this. And when I say this, you know, this is a reality. When you talk to somebody about, you know, trying to encourage them, you know, trying to be positive with them, you can do it. Mm-hmm. You know, getting them to understand that they can make it through something, they can do this, they can walk with God, you know.
Hallelujah.
God, not man,
yeah, praise
you know,
God,
you know,
yes,
you know,
hallelujah.
You know, God has been forgiven, you already
yes,
forgiven,
right,
you
right,
know,
right.
When you start letting them know God loves them,
yeah,
you know,
right.
That, you know, when you know, and God is not like man,
that's right,
you understand, and because man have been crushing them, and mm-hmm. Satan comes in many forms. You know, Satan, he does a number with
right.
you, spiritually in your mind. And when you try to tell, you know, be positive with people, and you're telling them the truth, mm-hmm. you're not telling them a lie, because you yourself have overcome and
right.
and you became now mm-hmm. a victor, like you mm-hmm. said earlier, then guess what? They will kind of, but then they don't buy it because mm-hmm. For so many years, they have allowed Satan to torture them. Mm-hmm. So,
and then too, when you said that, I thought about how when you said just a little bit, I want to buy into it. But then when you got these negative, Nancy, poor mouth, pitiful mouth people who may know your past, know your history, know something, or some of them think they know, but they really don't know.
Yeah.
They don't know all of the matter. Mm-hmm. But when you have some of these people around who try to distance you or put you off, and you don't know any better yet. But when you have some negative people, whether it's some family or ex-friends or people, and they say certain things that trigger all the more as, you know what, I don't have anything to offer. I'm going to keep letting Satan torture me. And you don't even realize he's torturing you. Mm-hmm. And all along, God is like, you know what? I have something working on the inside of you. I have mm-hmm. something great. You can't even, like you say, buy into
That's
or
right.
receive from
That's right.
the people that God bring across your path
That's right.
that is ministering to you.
Right.
And you want to hold on to it. You want to, but then you got all these attacks. And then right when you want to buy into it, one of these little negative person people going to come around that know your past. They're going to act some type of way with you. They're going to say something stupid or ignorant.
And then here you go all over again, spiraling out of control.
Get them people out your life.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay,
because when you have them people around you, and even at the expense of being by yourself, I would say get them out your life.
Yeah.
Because they're a hindrance from you fulfilling and exercising the gifts. Because God is not concerned with our past. He's concerned with a heart of repentance
That's
towards
right.
him to turn and
That's
to
right.
seek the kingdom.
That's right.
He's concerned about you using your gifts, what he's given you, to build the kingdom, to bless somebody
That's
else.
Right.
Life. He is not concerned about that stuff that happened 25 years ago.
But that discouragement.
Mm-hmm.
Discouragement goes with abuse. Abuse goes with discouragement.
And which talks about how long
you know
it took
saying?
Me just to even do this.
And really, all three of them, we talk about guilt, we talk about, discouragement, we talk about abuse. All three of them go together because that discouragement can be years of discouragement. You know, it can be years, not no 2 or 3 days. It can be years of discouragement.
That a lifetime of discouragement.
A lifetime of discouragement. That's right. That's powerful. A lifetime of discouragement has happened. You have drowned yourself.
Like you're 40 years old, and of the 40 years old, you've been discouraged 38, 35 years.
You walked on the diving board of abuse and jumped off. And went to the sea of discouragement and never got out of it. You drowned in it. That's what happened.
Stuck.
That discouragement and then shame.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
keeps
shame.
You in that bondage.
Shame, you know, yeah, shame. You know,
mm-hmm.
guilt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we lived it. Mm-hmm. We can talk
right,
about
right,
it.
Right, right.
You know, and there it is. Mm-hmm. And here you are. You know,
because often. Sometimes, and with myself, sometimes I didn't want to speak up. Now, I knew over a period of time, and God revealed to me, you're going to be traveling, you're going to be telling people, you're going to be ministering to people,
mm-hmm.
you know, concerning abuse. But knowing many people, if I have to reveal or say something about my story, my past,
mm-hmm.
and what it took along this journey process that was shameful, that was hurtful,
mm-hmm.
that could totally expose some stuff because I've been trying to put on a persona and all that. Now, you know me. I don't care about what
yeah, yeah, right,
I don't
right,
care
right.
about that.
Right.
But just in the beginning stages of trying to turn that situation or get out of abuse or whatever it may be, and you're walking along this path and then God says, okay, I'm ready for you to do this or to
mm-hmm.
say this or to go get hooked up here, but I want you to speak on this.
Mm-hmm.
You could pull back because you said the shame. And my thing is, I remember this minister came to our church and he talked about, that ain't even yours to keep anyway. What I went through, and if God is using it, it's for me to release to help someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And we walk around here holding on to shame that should have been released.
True.
So God can give us the double, like he said in his word,
mm-hmm.
for our shame,
mm-hmm.
for every trouble. Because sometimes when we experience shame and we experience the troubles of shame, 9 times out of 10, sometimes it's not even been brought on by ourselves. And we have to learn to get to that place of forgiveness and even realize, people say forgive yourself. It never talks about in the word about forgiving yourself.
That's right. That's right.
It's saying repent, right. Put that thing before God,
receive
the love of God,
right,
and walk in the things of, like, you. It ain't about forget. No, you forgive others. That's what the scripture says.
That's
so
right.
Those who hurt us, those who have abused us, those who caused us to walk in some amount of shame, God
mm-hmm.
said, erase that. It's done. Forgive them. Free them. And I'm going to allow you to continue to walk in the freedom that I have for you. Peace of mind and wholeness and completeness, you know, in me. And this work, like I say, my story, my life, my journey is a continual work. And that brings me to, like, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
It's been my favorite scripture ever since I got saved and I found it. I didn't get saved until I was 19 years old. And I remember getting baptized. I remember it so clearly. And I started reading the Bible. And when I got to this scripture, I had got all the way through the Bible. And when I got to this particular book of the Bible and I came across this scripture, it hit me, and I could not stop reading. I read it every day, getting it on the inside of me because I was dealing with abuse, and I was dealing with so many things, and I'll talk more about my story, of course, on the next episode, and then, of course, it's in my book for those who want to get it, but this scripture means so much to me because there's always this continued work that God is doing on the
that's
inside
right.
of us.
That's right. That's
and
right.
if I
that's
don't
right.
know that this work is
that's
going
right.
to be continual, then I'll give up.
That's
I'll
right.
get discouraged. I won't maximize what God's put on the inside of me.
That's right.
And so this scripture, it helped me to not give up. And it still prevents me and helps me and encourages me to not give up. Even when I miss the mark that day, I don't live a life of sin. But we do sin, and we all have fallen short.
That's
so
right. That's right.
I know that there's days that I have this imperfection.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't gonna never be perfect.
That's right.
But I'm perfect in Christ. And God, when I came across this scripture, it really helped me. So, and I use it in all my business, anything I put on, my emails, whatever it is, I always have this scripture there. I'm going to read it two different ways. The first is out of the King James Version, but it's Philippians 1:6. And it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That is my favorite scripture, Philippians 1:6. I keep it before me at all times. Mm-hmm. Just when I think I've fallen short or I'm faced with certain challenges of the day. And we've had challenges in our marriage and with certain things. Mm-hmm. No matter what, God's saying, I'm continually to do a work in you.
That's right.
And I'm going to continue perfecting you, continue to do and mold you into who I created you to be. So I'm going to do that until the day that my son returns.
That's right.
And I can be assured that by the time Jesus returns, I'm going to be ready. Mm. But I want to read it in this other way. Like in my Living Beyond Abuse book, I have it written like this. Now being confident, fully persuaded of this thing I know, hold as true, that he, God our Lord, who has begun a great work, initiation or fulfillment and manifestation of God-inspired promises in me shall continue perpetually and repeatedly to complete, bring to pass it until the coming of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Philippians 1:6. So I wrote it that way in my book, the way that God gave it to me when he ministered that to me many, many years ago. God was telling me that, and I want to share it with others, the same thing he told to me. He says that I can be fully persuaded and confident in him that he's always going to do a work and a new thing in me, that I can hold what God says as truth. Mm-hmm. And I know because he's our Lord, he's our creator, our ruler, our sovereign God, our king, he's my authority. And I know that this work that he's begun in me, he initiated this work. And he's going to fulfill this work. And he's going to cause the manifestation of his God-inspired promises to be seen in my life.
That's right.
And so, therefore, I can hold fast to the truth that he'll perpetually and repeatedly instill this good work on the inside of me. And he's going to complete this good work. And he's going to cause it to come to pass until the day that my Lord Jesus Christ returns.
That's right.
So I wrote it like that, and that's how God delivered it to me, that no matter what, there's a perpetual work on the inside of me. And I want to tell others, there's a perpetual work on the inside of them,
that's
especially
right.
When you've been abused. And this abuse for me went on for years, as early as three, four years old, I can remember, all the way to being sexually assaulted as a teen and even adulthood and going through domestic violence and being sexually assaulted and raped, even as an adult, and conceiving a child out of being raped and molested. All along this time of being abused and battered, when I got to this scripture, my vision changed for my life. Even though it took a process, yes, here we go again with my story, because it starts with this story, it becomes, this is a part of my life. It started as some heartbroken story. Mm. But this is the story as I tell to you. And that's why my book, Divine Destiny, The Lived Experience of a Woman's Testimony, come in handy where it ministers to people, because I'm telling you from this walk of a story that was put before me.
That's right.
But it's become my life and my purpose that God is using through me, that I've carried along this journey process that I'm going to be working in until Jesus Christ comes.
That's right.
So I wanted to always encourage people, especially if you've been abused and you know someone, Philippians 1:6 is a must to meditate on, to hold fast to, because it really helped me and it continues to help me to this day.
And the perfect work that Christ to the return of Christ, the perfect work that God is doing within us, if we never let go. And I have to say this because that scripture, what you just read, has a lot of meat on that. And like you say, the journey process. It's a process. It's a journey. But if we never let go of the discouragement, if we never let go of the shame, the guilt, the pain, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
If an individual never let go, we can start with ourselves. If we never let go, if I never let go of that, that scripture will never be fulfilled in my life, mm-hmm. or in your life. Because that scripture is true.
Mm-hmm. And so in this process of these episodes, and this is why I do, this is why God led me to come up with I Am Living Beyond Abuse podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So I have another voice and an outlet. I write books, and in my books, I talk about numerous things. But I've also wrote books on prayer. I wrote mm-hmm. books with prayer with children and parenting and different things. It's not just on abuse. But this is my primary thing that I do is counseling concerning and ministry concerning abuse.
Mm-hmm.
But on I Am Living Beyond Abuse, my podcast, and in my book, I Am Living Beyond Abuse, Living Beyond Abuse, this is why I'm doing it, so that we can get to this point where we can see this Philippians 1:6.
Mm-hmm.
How do I get to the point to where I can walk that out, to where I can rest in that? How do I get to that point? And how do I get out of abuse, and how do I stay out of abuse? Because just because you get out of an abusive situation don't mean you stay out.
Mm-hmm.
You can still be experiencing those effects, yeah. and having been with that abuser or any other technical abuser physically for years.
That's right.
But you still walk around with this abuse mentality or this victim or perpetrator mentality that you've never let go. And so I, in my book, Living Beyond Abuse, those 20 keys, I presented those to the world, and we'll go over those. We'll have more conversations about faith and about mm-hmm. parenting and about even talking about oppression and how oppression can keep you in abuse and how you have a vision to get out of abuse.
Mm-hmm.
So in my book where I talk about those 20 keys, those 20 keys are the 20 keys that saved me, that I knew that I had to implement those over time. I didn't learn those 20 keys. It was a gradual process. And it wasn't until God had me write that book that he says, this now is how you teach other women, men, and children how to get out of abuse through my word and natural means, because faith without works is dead. So we got to have some spiritual balance with some natural. How you get out, but how you stay out. And that's the whole purpose of I Am Living Beyond Abuse podcast. It's not to talk about abuse, like, for the sake of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's to give you a solution. It's to give you an answer. It's
mm-hmm.
to let you know those deep things that people aren't willing to talk about. Like, a lot of people don't want to talk about it, but it is
real.
Well,
it has to be talked about. It has to be talked about because as a man, especially as a man in this generation, it has to be talked about. It must be talked about. I would say, as a man, speaking to any man listening to this, you are commanded to talk about it, because you would not be able to be effective as a man and really truly walk in your true manhood as a godly man, as a spiritual man, until you talk about these things from your heart. Yes, it will be very uncomfortable. And I can talk about it because I had to do it myself. And had not I had a great woman, in my life, my wife, to help me, who knows?
And those and that's the thing, these secret hidden parts that we jump into marriages and relationships
yeah.
and all these
so check
that
out.
You could talk
so
about.
Check it out. It has to be talked
deal
about.
With.
It has
exactly.
to be talked about. From a man.
And that is okay
to
be talked about.
It has to be talked about. You go through life, your childhood, preteen years, teenage years, young adulthood years, and guess what? You never see a man communicate from his heart to a woman, deep-hearted issues to a woman. You never see that. And then here you are, 30 years old, 35 years old, 40 years old, 45 years old, 50 years old, cannot communicate from the heart because you never seen it from a man growing up. Because the stereotype was you see a man communicating from his heart to a woman, being emotional to his woman and crying, or maybe just having some weak moments at the time. that's considered you a punk, you a sissy, something soft about you. So you automatically think, if I go in here and talk, you don't even know how to do it. You don't know how to do it. You can talk about it because you was taught how to talk about everything else on the surface and everything else. But when it comes to deep-hearted issues, things that you may be dealing with as a man that happened to you. But this is a real thing. It happened to you. We cannot try to act like and be lying like it did not happen, because the negative effects that happens in your life because of it. You get with somebody, you get with a woman, get married, and guess what? You punishing her, punishing your kid for something that happened way when you was a child, or something that happened when you was a preteen, or in your teenage years, or maybe in your young adulthood years. And because you never talked about it openly, and then you was never trained on how to talk about it openly to a woman, because you never saw that from another man, then what ends up happening, you got these deep-hearted issues in your heart that you've been carrying around for years, decades. And then a woman will try to understand after you done married her, or before you marry her, what's going on with him. Why is he having certain issues? Why did he get quiet? Why he don't know how to communicate certain things? Why he having all these other issues in his life? Why he drinking? Why he smoking? Why he laying around? Why he can't stop doing this? Why he can't stop doing that? Because as a man, you have not yet opened up your heart to no woman or anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And unpacked all of that, those things, and all of that poison.
So you're surely going to be missing it on exercising the gift God gave you, because you all trapped up. Yeah. You trying to walk out the will of God. Yeah. You serving. You
still
doing
walking around. And you check out. After so many years, you're still walking around discouraged.
Yeah.
You're still walking around ashamed. You're still walking around in guilt. You're still walking around in hurt. You're still walking around in pain and embarrassment.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say this, because you made a very, very crucial point about forgiving yourself, that the Bible never told us to forgive ourselves. It says forgive others. And I believe that God knew that if he would have put that in the scripture, now this is just me talking, that if he would have put forgiving yourself, knowing how to forgive yourself in the scripture, that many people would never forgive themselves. Once they come into the revelation, understanding that God never told us to forgive ourselves, but we was told that growing up, somebody say, you got to first forgive yourself and all that. But guess what? That's why many people walk around in that.
But,
Because, and not realize that it's kind of sub-selfish too, because I don't want to forgive myself.
Forgiving yourself for doing it? Or it's not just forgiving yourself for doing it, but what about forgiving myself or trying to hold myself hostage, you walking around these years for allowing somebody to treat you like that? Pitiful because you allowed them to hurt you. Like it's your fault.
Just that whole made up, it's a made up spiritual just giant. You got millions of people walking around today in the world.
Imagine just talking about freedom, talking about yourself.
I understand what you're saying, and God can free a lot of people right there. Yeah, and because you see yourself every day in the mirror, what you done or what somebody done to you, like you just said.
So then this is why, you know, I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Because people have this mentality, I don't know where they get that from, of forgiving yourself, but because we hold on to this false narrative that comes from the enemy, then that's why people struggle with forgiving others. Because if I can't forgive myself for what I've done or allow somebody to, you know, like, then how am I going to forgive somebody else? And see, that's what God's saying. Get your mind off yourself and know that I have you covered. Do the same thing, the same mercy and the same grace and forgiveness that I bestowed upon you out of the love that I have for you. Do that to someone else. And that was the turning point in my life when I got out of this abusive relationship I had been in for like 5 years, and the man tried to kill me, and would have taken my life that night had I not heard from the Spirit of God. And I didn't even know that was really God. That was the first time I was like, oh my gosh, am I really hearing God talk to me? Because I had never, after reading the scriptures and hiding to read them, you know, because my abuser didn't allow me to read the Bible, or, you know, so I would hide and read the scriptures. But when he was choking me and I saw white light and I saw my body above as if I had departed from it, all I heard God, I just heard this voice saying, you're going to live and not die. But if you return back, you're going to die. And I was like, where is that voice coming from? It was God. And soon as I said in my heart, okay, it's like I was back in my body again. But the thing about it was, I had to leave that relationship knowing that this man tried to take my life, and later on still walk in forgiveness with this person, still not hold them hostage, still not hold them captive because I'm so angry that they raped me, they molested me, and all what everybody did to me. It doesn't matter who my child's father is. Yes, I was sexually assaulted. Yes, he raped me. Yes, but at the end of the day, it's irrelevant because the love of God, he may not even know what he was doing at the time when he was doing it. And that's the forgiveness that I walk in, knowing that I've done things too, and God has had to forgive me. So I bestow that regardless of the hurt. And we've been married, and there's been things that we have gone through.
That's right.
And things that I've learned later in life. And then I didn't walk out of the marriage, or I could have, but in certain areas where abuse and revealing certain things, I didn't walk out on you, but I put myself in a position. God said, I need you to love him the same way I loved you. And whatever he revealed to you, that ain't for you to take on yourself. That's for you to love and cover him so that I can fulfill the will. There's a reason why I brought you two together, even though sometimes I can't believe we're married. I can't believe we are married. I'm like, Lord, this fool. But I know you love me at the end of the day, and I know that there's a purpose. And had it not been for the purpose, the divine purpose I know that we have together, then I wouldn't be able to stay with you. But I know that God told me, I need you to love him in spite of. And if you continue to cover him in love, all that's going to turn, he's going to fulfill. He just need you to be the helper that I created you to be for
that's
him.
Right. That's right.
You're not, I heard Apostle and someone say on the call the other night that you can't be their healer. You're meant to be help, not healer.
That's right.
And I love when they said that, when they were having that conversation with that bishop on their episode or some YouTube. And I just love when they said that, because I'm not here to heal you, but God has invested something and put something on the inside of me that obviously my husband needed. And I didn't even know to that extent what you would need. And I want to say this too. It does matter who you marry.
That's right.
Because you have something. Each spouse has something. And if you live by God, deposit it on the inside of you for that other spouse.
That's right.
And some things, and I'm just going to say it, sometimes, and you know it, but I cannot stand sometimes when women are running their mouth to other people about their husband.
That's right.
I do not like that. You're supposed to cover him. You're supposed to protect him. You're supposed to uphold him. Now, whatever problems y'all got to work out, get to seek the wisdom or whatever it is, but you're running your mouth to their family and this person and that person. Y'all supposed to be a team. You're supposed to be wanting good for him. So whatever, those are the secret things of the heart that you're supposed to be helping one another. So that's where a whole nother topic for a whole nother day, on a whole nother show that I could create for women, and to teach them how, as painful as it's been in the beginning to walk certain things out with you, to give you the space to grow to the point in the man you are today. I had to cover you in those secret places. Not lie or this or that. It wasn't about any of that. It's about praying and fasting and pleading the blood over you. I oiled your stuff down and whatever I had to do.
It wasn't easy to do. I mean,
exactly.
And that's where the rubber meets the road when a man finds a true woman of God. You know, when that woman is praying and fasting, and even when she don't want to do it, when she want to cut his neck off, when she want to kill him. And that's the reality.
Now we on my show talking about not abusing, and you on here talking about
this. This is the reality. that we live in today.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I mean, it's the real. Yeah. And that's the sign of a true woman of God. You know, that's walking her true, genuine spirituality. Hey, I'm going to get down here and pray. I'm going to get down here and fast. I'm going to intercede.
Yeah, it's been some long nights. Whatever needed to be broken, I was willing to do it, even in spite of being hurt. Have there been times I wanted to walk out? Absolutely. But God told me, I remember it clearly, God said, you know what? No, you're going to stay until you see the manifestation of all these things you've been praying for. Everything that I've shown you, everything that you believe for in my word is going to manifest through your husband. I need you to stay, fast, pray, intercede. Do get outside of yourself and work on you. And I got him covered. Because sometimes as wives, we can get in the way of the process. The Holy Spirit is doing a work, but you, now one thing I can say, I'm not in your ear, yada, 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 like a whole lot of nay concerning.
Right.
I'm going to pray. Yeah. I'm going to fast. I'm going to do stuff that you don't even know I'm doing because I'm expecting to see a certain result. Mm-hmm. I'm expecting to see the man that God told me that I was marrying mm-hmm. and who he would be and walk out his purpose in his kingdom. Mm-hmm. But some women be nagging. They trying to be God for their husband, and you are not God. And sometimes as women, we can get in the process
trying to be the healer
of trying to be what they said, mm-hmm. trying to be, and we're not designing. We could be messing up the process of healing for our husbands, mm-hmm. and they may be, and we want to know why they're standoffish, why they're not communicating, and we never take into the consideration there's some hidden secret things somewhere before they met you. So take the time to go fellowship with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit, there were some things you hadn't told me, but the Holy Spirit told me that I told you, and you, I already know the truth. Nobody had to tell me. The Holy Spirit is going to reveal, but I have to get in a place, and it ain't even my responsibility to come attack you with that. What I'm trying to do is get back to this gift part in this book, because had you not walked, if I would have got in the way or stayed in the way, then this gift that I talked about in the beginning, it would never be seen in your life to exercise to other people.
Or if you were still caught up in...
In my, yeah, caught up.
Could never hear the Spirit of God.
Could never hear the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. And so to know, yeah, there's still growth and things.
We're both along this journey. Of course.
But at least I know now that you can open up, you can talk about things, and you're willing to help other people and get outside of yourself. Mm-hmm. So that you can exercise this gift of ministry in realizing you're one the only one.
That's right.
And that it's okay. And my thing is, I don't care who walks out of your life as your wife, mm-hmm. I'm going to be right here.
Yeah.
And even if I walk out, you know you have the Lord. Mm-hmm. So I'm committed to the long-term process because I want you to be used. And I want other men healed and delivered and set free as well. And walk in their gift that God's given them.
Right.
In their purpose.
That's right.
So with that being said, we are finished with this first episode. I'm so thankful to be able to share this with you today. This is part one, episode one, my story, my life, my journey, part one. So we'll be back with a part two. Well, we'll go into a little more talking about our stories, our upbringing, things. And when we talk about this, we're not calling nobody names, and it ain't to ridicule anybody. It's just a part of the story that aligns with the life that God has given us as we go through the journey process and set people free. That it's okay to share. And in sharing, we're not just talking and gossiping, because we don't do that. We're being transparent to let people know you're not the only one. And even in that, no matter how pale or dark it looks, there's light that God has for you. So I'm going to pray us out. And then I will see you again on the next episode. So, Father God, I thank you for today. I thank you for the opportunity for my husband and I to come together to share this message with others. I pray now, Lord God, that those who are listening, Father, will receive the light of your word, Father, that you would impart by your spirit into them and open their eyes so that they can begin to see the gift of God that's at work on the inside of them. Do for them the same thing that you did for me. Far exceed their wildest imaginations, Lord God. And those who do not know you, Lord God, that they'll come to a place to where they know you, that they'll receive Jesus, Lord God, and walk in their freedom. I ask right now, Father God, that those who have faced bondage in dark areas of their lives, even today, Father, that you would send your spirit, oh Father God, and that they will grab hold to it, and that they will arise, and that they will awaken, Father. I thank you for my husband who shared on today, and even many more episodes that he will share on, oh Father God, and I ask that you continue to bless him, bless his life, oh Father God. Bless the hearers that have heard on today. Continue to strengthen them hands on Father God and allow them to share this message with those who they feel need to hear this message, oh Father God. Perfect us in every way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So thank you again today for tuning in to I Am Living Beyond Abuse. I will see you again on the next episode.